God. I take this preaching very serious. I recognize the position I stand in when I stand behind the sacred desk, and it's a responsibility to feed people and give them God's word that sustains them. I don't get tired of preaching. I just want it to be fresh for you. We used to live right next to a train tracks, and when we first bought the home, it was sort of annoying. But after about a year, I didn't even hear the train. We have dozens of chiming clocks in our house. I don't even hear them anymore. People who come in are aware. But I don't want the repetitious rhetoric or even the sound of my voice not to be heard because you've heard it so many times. Because this word saves us. It preserves us. So if you'll turn to a very familiar scripture in Acts, the 10th chapter. Starting in verse number 1, a lot of you can quote this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile. The apostles didn't believe that salvation was for the Gentiles. It was exclusive to the Jews. And then it gives a description, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms, or giving, are come up for a memorial before God. I talked about that this morning. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. Devout man, feared God, gave much to the people, prayed always, and God's saying, now here's what you have to do. Most of all of religion feels like that's all you had to do in the first place. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. It is alive. It has not changed. There is power in your word, not in ours, but in yours. And God, just a reading of it does something inside. Touch it, bless it, anoint it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, long before most of us responded to truth, God had been dealing with our heart. He was preparing the soil. He caused us to be sensitive to the things of God, even sent people who didn't have truth to us to ask us about the things of God, and they didn't even have the formula in order to get us saved. Long before I ever stepped in a Pentecostal church, I went to a Lutheran church for many years, even a Methodist church, and I loved God. I believed in God with all my heart, but there was more. God was setting up a situation to bring people into our lives to prompt us in coming to God. And God saw something in our heart, a tenderness towards God that perhaps we didn't even realize. there was a longing within us that says, I need more of God, and we didn't even know that, and we didn't even know how to get to God, and so God senses that, and then he puts people in our lives. And the same was true for Cornelius, to the point where God sent an angel to his living room. That's one way to get saved. What I want you to see here is that Cornelius responded immediately. He didn't say, well, you know what, if you could come back for the next couple of weeks, we can talk about this a little more. You know, I really don't have any proof. There are some people who come into the church and they respond immediately. I remember Missy Hoffman coming into an evening service. I think it was in the old building. It maybe was 89 or 90. Sat on the second pew next to her sister. She sobbed through the entire service. Couldn't even lift up her head because she recognized, this is what I have been looking for. I don't have to be convinced. Nobody has to direct me. And a few of you, we're in the same category. He didn't hesitate. Cornelius didn't hesitate. He didn't think about, well, maybe in a month we could get together again. Maybe invite me to that church one more time. But Cornelius sent men to Joppa to find the preacher. Hey, I got to get somebody over here that has the information. God said I should send somebody. He could have said to himself, who do they think they are? I'm a devout man. I fear God with all my house. I give lots of money to the poor. You know, I am praying all of the time, and now they're coming to me and telling me that there's something more that I need to do. No, if there was more of God for him and his family, you know what? He wanted it. And I thank God all of the time that I had an open mind, that I didn't shut this thing and say, hey, I've accepted the Lord long time ago. I believe in God. I don't need to do anything more. Besides all of those attributes, it was what God saw that caused him to move on him. That's what God saw in you. God just couldn't resist the spirit of Cornelius. He was a sanctuary ready to be occupied by God. He already did the cleaning. He already did the housework. And now God's saying, you know, I just got to move in, you know. Ever buy a house and you just couldn't wait until the closing? I want to move into that thing, you know, or even a rented property you get all excited about. I believe that God gets all excited about new residencies, that he just wants to move in. I want to live in that person. You'll notice that it didn't take but half a message. You know, Cornelius, he probably had, you know, at least a 12-point message that he wanted to give him, and he probably only got to about the second point. While yet Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell on him, and he and his whole household were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, that's the way it should happen today. You know, not, well, I've got to prove to you, I've got to somehow show you every scripture. No, no. When God is in it, hallelujah, all you're looking for is the right vein. Before God decided to move in, Cornelius had cleaned the house even before he received the Holy Ghost. And it's imperative that we have a clean temple for God to reside in. And that's why we apostolic preachers preach against certain things, because God just won't stay in any house. It's not so much that they will take you to hell, but I'll tell you what, it leads you to that place. Sometimes we might think that God is so desperate to keep us, even if we won't follow his word, that he will make allowances for us based on the corrupt society that we live in. I know it used to be more restrictive when I came into the church. No, the restrictions have not changed based on what is accepted in society today. It's not. It's God's restrictions. We're not changing the law. We don't have a Supreme Court that overrules the Word of God. This is okay, now you can do this. Listen, God allows the whole world to be drowned, annihilated, just to save 8 people. You know, somebody was saying to me before service, there were 10 plagues, before, Israel was delivered from Egypt. But, Israel only went through 4 of the plagues. They were exempt from all of the other plagues. Could it be that we're exempt from certain plagues that happen in the earth? Glory to God. And God always can start again. It has. It ought to scare us to death that God has a replacement standing in the wings for each and every one of us. If you won't do it, God will find somebody else that will do it. For everyone who thinks that God is too righteous and it costs too much in order to serve him, God has somebody sleeping under a bridge just waiting for you to join the choir, And some of you, like Paul says, and such were some of you, and now God is using you. What I like about Cornelius is that he didn't wait until he understood all about everything that was in the Word of God leading him before he just said, yeah, I'm going to do this. And believe it or not, there are many, many people who are out there just waiting for us to say one word, will you just come to church? Sometimes we give people too much information and it scares them, but won't you come and experience God like we experience God? He stepped out in faith, not just in knowledge. And sometimes we think we have to give them the knowledge when God just wants to touch their spirit, you see. Cornelius had this great approach to God. He spent a lot of time with God, even not knowing full truth. And again, many of you spent a lot of time with God. You built on the foundation that you had, and you had a good relationship with God, but it was like Cornelius, you didn't have full truth. He spent a lot of time with God, even not knowing the truth. And when you do that, you start to assimilate God, absorb God by association. That's why people who pray a lot, people who come to church on a regular basis, they become more like Christ than those who just will limit God to certain times and certain places. And the more Moses stayed on the mountaintop, the more he glowed, and the more he wanted God. It seems like we go to family camp or conferences and we spend 5 or 6 days going to services in the morning and in the evening, and we get back and we're thinking, I got to get to church. Because the more you get of God, the more you want of God. The closer you become and more you conform to his image. Hallelujah. And if you get people to stay in the presence of God, well, they just change. It's just an automatic change. Who told you that the church services didn't matter? We are all being transformed in this very moment under the preaching of the Word of God. Someone once said, if you sleep with dogs, you get fleas. Spend time with God and you get righteous. Who do you want to spend time? Why is it so important that your friends are in the church? I'm not saying you shouldn't have friends outside, but you see, who's going to influence you? Those people you spend the most time with, those are the people who are going to influence you. Now, whenever someone gets converted, it takes two. There is the converter and there is the convertee, And we've been both. You were the convertee at one point, and now you have become the converter, you see. Cornelius was the convertee, and God wanted to use Peter as the converter. It should surprise us that God had more trouble with Peter than with Cornelius. Isn't it amazing? Cornelius said, yep, hey, come on, we're going and we're going to get to where he told us to go. He didn't take a week to decide. But what did God have to do in order to get Peter to go to his house, you know? Glory to God. Take a look at Acts, the 10th chapter again. Acts chapter 10, and starting in verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending onto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause where ye have or are come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all of the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into the house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." The church represents Peter here. We are the converters, if you will. And Cornelius, those who are lost. God gives us a perfect picture. Peter, who received revelation that Jesus was God, he got more information and revelation than any of all of the other apostles. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and preached the first message of salvation in Acts, the second chapter. Peter, the first name Jesus mentioned after he was raised from the dead. I mean, here's a guy of privilege. God gave him more than all of the other 12. God here clearly gives him a vision of what's right, what he should do. And he hesitates. I believe that God wants to use more of us in many spiritually directed commands if our ears are open and attentive to him and obedient to what he wants us to do. I believe that there are many in this congregation that God would want to use in the gifts of the Spirit, but you have hesitated, wondering, is this really of God or is this really of me? God wants to use some people in directing them to heal others that are around us or in many other ministries, if we will simply be as open as Cornelius was And we've got the Holy Ghost. And we've been baptized in Jesus' name. And we have the revelation of God is. Yet Peter perceives himself so pious that he corrects God. Oh, no, God. No. Oh, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Peter gives God an Old Testament Bible study. You know, this is what I taught. I don't think so. It's like coming out of a denominational church. We try to tell people, here's some freedom. There's some wonderful things that God... Oh, I'm sorry. No, we are not allowed to have that kind of freedom, that kind of privilege. Meanwhile, the sinner has put into action what God has showed him. Men standing at Peter's door waiting to hear the plan of salvation. God said, you're going to tell me. Come on. Glory to God. I don't want sinners standing at my door and I won't respond because I'm involved in church stuff. You know, I'm sorry, can't witness to you because I'm putting together a Sunday school lesson. You know, I'm too busy counseling people who have problems in the church that I can't talk to somebody who really wants God. Now, the humorous thing is this. Peter is aghast at going to deal with a Gentile because he'll be in violation of Jewish law. Yet the angel told Cornelius that Peter was living by the seaside with Simon, a tanner. Peter is already in violation of Jewish law because no Jew was allowed to fellowship with a tanner. Anyone who dealt with dead skins or dead animals, and that's exactly what a tanner did. So he, on one hand, would not kill and eat or do what God told him to do because this was a Gentile's house, and he was already in violation spending time with a tanner. Oh, no, Lord, I would never touch that which is unclean. Peter, you're already in violation of the law, and you don't even know it. Glory to God. When some people are pointing their finger at us, there's three fingers pointing at them, you know. Make sure your house is clean before you start cleaning up somebody else's house. Thank God Cornelius wasn't a religious as Peter was. He was just, you got something more for me? I mean, could there be anything more exciting than, what shall I do? Do you have information? Is there more for me? Can you imagine what that does to somebody who teaches a Bible study, how exciting it is having somebody really hungry for the truth? Because God only had to speak to Cornelius once, and he obeyed. But God gives Peter three visions and almost threatens to kill him if he didn't do. You know, we find Jonah, what do you have to do? Get swallowed by a whale? Thrown off a ship? Glory to God. Folks, I never want to get so spiritual that I question God's reasoning for his command. We can get to the place where we're just so focused on religion or church that we focus God out of our life, when from the moment we wake up in the morning, I really believe that God has directives for each and every one of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost to do something more important than what our life is all about. Amen. Direct us to somebody who's hurting, somebody who has a need, somebody that God has been preparing for weeks, months, or years to receive a message from us. Amen. I'd like to be like Philip. So if you'll turn to Acts, the 8th chapter. I can read these scriptures over and over again, and every time I do, it excites me. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go unto the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, the background on this is Philip's at a revival in Jerusalem. He probably took months in order to plan to go to this revival. And right in the middle of revival, there was probably a great song service going on. And God says, "Hey, I'd like you to go down into the desert by yourself." But it doesn't make any sense. Okay. He's like Cornelius, only he's saved. And he's so sensitive to God's direction, he goes. Glory to God. And he rose and went. Behold, a man, a Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was on his way to the same conference, but he never got there. He's still sitting in a chariot trying to figure out, why am I going there? Was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to the chariot." And Philip, well, he pondered for a while. I don't know. Is this really of God? No, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" Oh, music to the ears of a Bible teacher to a saint that gets excited about the things of God. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him for 10 weeks in a Bible study. No. God had prepared this eunuch for a long, long time. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth. You know what? The only way I can be a witness is to open my mouth. Yeah, but what if somebody criticizes me? What if they separate themselves from me because they don't agree with what I'm saying? Well, that's their problem. And I don't want it to be my problem. Because if I don't open my mouth, then it's going to be my problem. And began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son or the flesh of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. They just had a little bitty fountain, and they both went down into that. No, they both went into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. "I've got another thing for you." And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I believe he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He's rejoicing. Amen. While Peter doubted in himself what the vision should mean, Philip left a revival and ran to a chariot. I believe that God wants us to run to some people. Not everybody resists this whole thing. You would be surprised. The reason I'm standing here tonight is because somebody opened their mouth. They looked at my wife and I and said, never happen, never. Sister Nona Freeman, I've said this story before, was in her kitchen. She was doing her dishes. And God said, go out on the porch and wave to the car that goes by. And she thought, well, that's foolish. You know, why would I do that? And God had to speak to her. She said, I'm embarrassed to say, God had to speak to me 3 times. So I went out on the porch, and there was a car going by, and she smiled and waved. And I don't know what that's all about. Go back, finish the dishes. Later on, she found out, and this guy came into the church. He said, you're the woman that waved to me. I was on my way to commit suicide. But something happened when you waved to me. It made a difference in my life. I knew there was a God that loved me. What if she said, maybe tomorrow I can do that? You know, there's an urgency in order to do what God wants us to do. It could save a life today. Maybe tomorrow it's too late. Yeah. Hallelujah. It said, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision should mean, we sometimes try to analyze God's direction before we move, or perhaps we get someone else's opinion as to, what do you think God is saying here? You know, like somebody else is a guru in your life that'll explain the vision or the thoughts that God has already given you. You know, we don't need a stenographer to type out what God has told us. Or how does this relate to the experience I already had with God some years ago? And by that time, God moves to a more willing disciple. If you won't do it, I'll get somebody else. Isn't it amazing that God gives us little pictures so our small mind can comprehend what he wants us to do? Many people who are operating in the gifts of the Spirit, God literally gives them a vision of what they're supposed to say in the gifts of the Spirit. Little animals on a sheet coming down from heaven. What's that all about? Yeah, kill and eat, you know? No high tech theoretical disposition, but a simple object lesson. If God could show us as we walk through life, people who are so desperate in need with God, with little pictures above their heads, you know, divorced, sick, lonely, in grief, would we then respond faster because we know exactly what the problem is? There are men who have had many prophetic ministries and healing ministries that have come to our church and others. And because they deal in that on a regular basis, God opens their understanding and vision to a lot of things that are going in your life. So I know you have a back problem. How did I know that? Because God told me. And now as we minister to somebody who already knows that God knows that they have a back problem, their faith increases to the place where I believe if God knows that, God's going to heal me right now, you know? And that's all a part of what God does in order to get our attention to see great miracles happening in our life. You see, God had to change Peter's concept of who should get saved. His concept was, no, it's not for them at all. Acts 10 and 34, listen to this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Do I need to repeat that? He is no respecter of persons. This world has a problem with that. But in the church, God has no respect for any particular race, creed, religion. God wants to save everyone, not just the people that we think should get saved, you know? We can develop this mindset. Well, doctors and lawyers, well, they can't get saved because they just have too much going for them. They have too much money. They're too sophisticated. And people who live under bridges can't get saved because they're just too poor and they'll never respond, you see. And that just leaves us with somebody just like you. So what we do is we go after people who are just like us instead of going after people who God is directing us to, you see. I played tennis with a number of doctors and lawyers and some denominational Christians who talk about God all of the time. And there is one guy who pretty much rejects everything concerning God altogether, just agnostic. I witnessed to them all. They nicknamed me the preacher man, you know. Well, a couple years ago, who shows up at our church? But the guy who doesn't believe in God at all. I mean, he hears us talk between the denominational Christians and me about scriptures and things like that. And, you know, you guys. But none of them show up. But the guy who didn't want anything to do with God at all of a sudden, he shows up. Don't try to figure out what God is doing. Just respond. Nobody thought I could get saved. I grew up, you've heard the story, with a couple. And we got together after my wife and I were married with them and didn't even know they were in the church for years, but never witnessed to us. And then we found the church. Not because of their witness, but because of somebody else. Okay, you don't want to be in that place? I'll get somebody else. Because God had been preparing our heart. And so we come, we get filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and they come to us and say, I am so sorry, but we never thought that you would ever respond to this truth. They're out there, folks. We think we have to have all of the answers, all of the scripture, all of the preparation for God wants us to do, and he doesn't. He's just looking for somebody who is willing to open their mouth for him. But it could be as simple as just going to Cornelius' house. Peter, I don't know what kind of message he had. I don't even know if it was good. In fact, I don't know if God even carried, but as he opened his mouth, bam, the Holy Ghost fell, as it did on those at the beginning. Preach a little Jesus and let God fall on them. I mean, really, if you've been around this for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. You start talking to somebody about God and streams of tears start running down their face. Was it you? Was it something that you said? Maybe a little bit, but it was more of the Holy Ghost touching them, saying, yes, listen. So back to chapter 10 again. And verse 42, it says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all of the prophets witness, we're talking about Jesus, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The dogs of society, if you will. And that's exactly how the Jews felt. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Peter had some real explaining to do now. I hope you don't take this wrong. It's not about me, but I was so focused on that first Bible study that I did. I literally spent hours and hours of preparation because I wanted to get it right. And literally before I taught the first lesson, I'd fast for 3 days. And was I proficient? Absolutely not. Glued to my notes, didn't know hardly anything except what I got out of a teacher's manual and the Word of God. And in that first Bible study, 8 people were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. One woman got the Holy Ghost in my living room. She was a nice lady who said after the 7th lesson of salvation, is that what I have to do? And I said, yes. And I said, that's what the Bible says. And she said, okay, let's do it. I'm thinking, what do you mean? We're not in church, you know? And so she knelt down. We prayed over. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, you know? And word got back to the church that people were getting the Holy Ghost in my living room. And now, all of a sudden, all of these people who had this understanding that we teach them here, and then they come to church. This is the delivery room. This is where you get the Holy Ghost. Now, all of a sudden, they have the liberty to pray with people in their house to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, all of these people were getting the Holy Ghost in Bible studies. Glory to God. You see, all it takes is somebody to say, you know what? This is what God wants us to do. It wasn't even me that suggested we pray, but here's a sinner lady who says, okay, let's do it. If you're saying this, then it should happen. Glory to God. We never have to justify to religious people what God has commanded us to do. You know? And don't ever get to the place where you think that you're out of line or embarrassed because we're doing the bidding of God. All right, I have 2 more scriptures. One in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse number 6. Paul is talking to the church at Galatia, and he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost unto you, then that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately, oh yeah, now we get it, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So we find that he didn't confer with people. He didn't even confer with the apostles because he didn't think that the apostles would even approve him doing this, even though it was a directive from God. And then our last scripture in Acts, the 11th chapter. Church, the greatest tool that you have in your arsenal to get a hold of people is your own testimony. What happened to you? How did you get here? See, they can deny the church, they can deny the word of God, but they cannot deny your conversion and who you are now and who you used to be. You see? And so, here's what Paul had to do. He had to convince those who didn't have the same revelation or response from God, and he had to tell them what happened to him. So in verse number 1, it says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. The Jews are saying, hey, what do you think you're doing? This is not for those people. Saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them? What's with this? But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven four corners, and it came even to me, and upon which when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as it began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. Then remembered I the words of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God saved them, the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I should withstand God? Oh, glory. I don't want to stand in the resisting what God wants to do for somebody else because I hesitate and don't respond immediately to what God is saying I should do. Glory to God. What I'm asking is this. God wants to talk to us. God wants to lead us. What if you got up tomorrow morning, knelt down, and said, God, I want this day to be profitable for you. Would you lead me to somebody who is hungry? I'm telling you, that's a prayer that God wants to answer. He really does. Oh, but I don't teach Bible studies. I'm not very good at talking to people. I don't know many scriptures. You have the Holy Ghost, and you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me. You see? Glory to God. Something comes to my mind every time I teach on this kind of thing is I remember we had an insurance office on the third floor of a bank building just shortly after we got saved. And I went to lunch and I was coming back and there's cars parked in front of this building going to the bank and so forth. And as I walked by this car, I saw somebody sitting in the passenger side reading the Bible. And I thought, well, that's unusual. And God said, go talk to him. And I thought, nah, I don't want to disturb them. So I went up to my office, sat down at my desk, started working on something I had started before lunch. And God said, I told you, go talk to him. And it was the third time. I'm embarrassed to even say this. It was the third time. Why aren't you going? So got on the elevator, went back down, walked over to the car. I said, excuse me, can I talk to you a little bit about? And so open to the Word of God. You see, we don't have to go hunting for people. I really believe that God wants to direct us to people who God has already prepared. Sitting out in the middle of the desert. They're in their own house. Glory to God. I want to be a vessel to be used by God. Brother Bear and Cody Bear have been working for the last month or so on a home Bible study that they're recording and putting on YouTube. You know, even if you don't teach Bible studies, this is going to be a phenomenal tool that we can use, that you have access to, that you can direct people to. Go to our websites, look for Bible study, you know, on YouTube. Through this pandemic, God has opened so many doors through videos and song services on the internet because God wants to export what we have here to the outside. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Jesus said this, the fields are white, but the laborers are few. Our main goal isn't just to stay saved until the rapture. I like to bring some people with me. Amen. Love you all. The altar's open. Would you come?